The COVID pandemic has put all kinds of limitations on what we as a church have been able to do in the last year. But one thing we can do without any restriction is pray. We can pray for each other. We can pray for our church and where we're headed once we get to the other side of COVID. We can pray for our community and our nation and our world. And I think we all know prayer is important. But there are moments when a lot of us feel like our prayers are inadequate. Now, if you've ever felt like this, if you've ever struggled with prayer, I want you to know that you're not alone. You're in good company, because even the disciples struggled with prayer. And Jesus responded to their struggles by teaching them a prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, each Sunday during Lent, we will look at one of the lines from this prayer, and we'll see how it connects to Jesus' own life and what it means for us. Now, as you may know, there are two different versions of the Lord's Prayer found in the Gospels. One is found in the Gospel of Matthew, and the other is in the Gospel of Luke. Today, we'll look at the one from the Gospel of Matthew. And if you have a Bible handy, I invite you to turn to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and I will read verses 9 through 13. Let's listen now to these words of Scripture, and Jesus is speaking. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of our Lord. Jesus was a person of prayer, and by that I mean he prayed often. Just think about all the different times that Jesus prayed. At his baptism, while he was praying, heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, and a voice said, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. On the night before he chose the 12 disciples, Jesus went to a mountain to pray all night long. And at the Transfiguration, his whole appearance changed as he prayed, and his clothes became a dazzling white. Now, these are just a few examples from Jesus' life, but they remind us that Jesus was a person of prayer, which the disciples witnessed. They were with him at all hours of the day, and therefore they watched him pray in the morning and in the middle of the night and at all the times in between. They saw his commitment to prayer. And there were probably many occasions in which Jesus invited them to join him in prayer. But in Luke's gospel, these disciples acted as if they didn't know how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we do wonder why the disciples made that request. After all, it does seem a little odd given the fact that they had all been raised in the Jewish faith. They had grown up going to worship and hearing public prayers. You'd think they would have known how to pray. But apparently, that wasn't the case. Now, they may have thought that their prayers weren't said in the right way or that their prayers were making any difference. Maybe they felt that their prayers were inadequate in light of what they were learning about God from Jesus. Or perhaps they thought that the prayers they had been taught to say or the prayers that they heard others say weren't helping them have meaningful conversation with God. In fact, Matthew pointed out some of these bad examples. In verse 5 of chapter 6, Matthew wrote about the time when Jesus called out the hypocrites who stood and prayed in the synagogues so that they could be seen by other people. Jesus didn't want his disciples to pray like that. The fact that Jesus gave the disciples a model prayer suggests that he understood that prayer is something all people struggle with and they need help. And certainly, Jesus wanted to help his disciples grow in their prayer life. But for that to happen, they would need to make prayer a priority. Now, for people of faith, prayer should be a regular part of everyday life, because it's through prayer that we talk to God and God talks to us. But prayer is more than speaking. It also involves listening, yielding, meditating, and more. If we're serious about our commitment to God, then we'll want to grow in our prayer life so that we can grow closer to the Lord. Prayer is essential because it draws us into a more intimate relationship with God. It helps us grow in our love for God and grow in our understanding of God's will. But prayer can be a big struggle. We may feel like we're not doing it in the right way, which really resonates with a passage in Paul's letter to the Romans where he says, "We don't know how to pray as we ought." And it was for that reason that Paul said we need to depend on God's Spirit to help us. And I would add that we need to rely on the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. As we dive now into the Lord's Prayer, let's take a moment to consider how we go about praying. I think we usually pray when we have a problem and we want God to fix it, or we have some kind of need and we want God to meet that need. But I think we realize that it is really easy for us to turn prayer into a selfish endeavor where we make it all about ourselves and our own needs and wants and desires. We know that prayer should be more than this. And that's where the Lord's Prayer offers help. It helps us set the right priorities in our prayers. Now, this doesn't mean we have to ignore our own personal problems and struggles. It is important to pray about these things. But the Lord's Prayer helps us see that prayer is so much more than this. You see, at its core, the Lord's Prayer is focused on Jesus' mission and message. We should remember that this prayer grew directly out of his life and ministry. And by using it as a model prayer, we discover more about Jesus. We discover more about what he was about, which now brings us to the very first line of the prayer where Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven." Jesus wasn't making a statement about God's gender here. And throughout history, people have stressed that God is neither male or female. Calling God Father or even calling God Mother ultimately falls short of expressing the true identity and character of God. But what did it mean for Jesus to call God Father? When saying this, Jesus was recognizing the very nature of God, that God is love. God is like a loving parent who creates us, protects us, and provides us with what we need. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane at a time of great need, he prayed, "Abba, Father." And Abba is the equivalent of "my Father." It's a term that Christians have used frequently to address God. Now, when Jesus spoke of God as Father, he recognized God's great love, and he embraced that love by putting it at the center of his life and ministry and teaching. By using the word Father, Jesus was also making a connection to the call and vocation of Israel. Now, the first mention of God as Father in the Old Testament is found in Exodus chapter 4. God had called Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. And the Lord instructed Moses to speak to Pharaoh. And he said this, and this is from Exodus 4, verses 22 and 23. "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go, that he may worship me." So when Jesus told his disciples to call God Father, he was preparing them for a new exodus because God is working to free his people. And so the word Father, at its core, conveys a sense of hope. For years, Jews had clung to the hope of freedom. We see this when they were slaves in Egypt, and we see it again when they were in exile in Babylon. And in Jesus' own time, the people of Israel hoped and prayed that God would free them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. Many Jews believed that their true freedom would come in a final exodus, which would happen with the arrival of the Messiah. Jesus knew that God had sent him into the world to be this Messiah. He also recognized that the cross was in his future, and it would be through the cross that evil would be defeated and people would be set free. So the word Father focuses our attention on the mission and the message of Jesus. It's a message of exodus, a message of liberation, which comes through the Messiah, who bears the pain and the brokenness of the world so that the world might be healed and set free. But praying to our Father in heaven isn't just about making connections to the mission and the message of Jesus. It's also about applying what we learn to the way we live. So what then does it mean for us to call God Father? How does that affect the way we live? Well, this is about more than just calling God Dad in our prayers. When we call God Father, we're asking God to consider us as His children. And that is an act of great faith. You see, we're trusting that God sees us and sees our needs and will respond. And that means when we call God Father, we're claiming that God cares for us as His own children, just like parents who care for their children. Jesus even spoke about God's generous care to His disciples. He said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now, this doesn't mean that God spoils us rotten by giving us everything we ask. Instead, God gives us what we ask for only when it's for our own good and the good of all creation. Luke chapter 11 makes that much clearer, where Jesus promises good gifts to those who ask. And yet, we don't always know what to ask for. But the Lord's Prayer helps us understand what God is ready to give. Now, this prayer also makes it abundantly clear that we're not praying just for ourselves. We are praying with and for others, which is why we say, "Our Father." And when we call God our Father, we're saying that we want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to be part of God's kingdom. And there are responsibilities and expectations that come with this. To be called children of God means that we're willing to represent God and to carry out God's purposes. It means that we're willing to step out as God's children into a world full of pain and brokenness and darkness. These things are all around us. They're even in our own hearts. N.T. Wright said, "If we take the risk of calling God Father, then we're called to be the people through whom the pain of the world is held in the healing light of the love of God. And we then discover that we want to pray and that we need to pray." Prayer isn't intended to be a selfish endeavor where we pray only for our own interests and needs. We are called to pray for others. We're called to lift up all of the brokenness we see in the world. And we're called to respond by doing our part to bring about healing. At the same time, we are trusting in God's victory on the cross. We're trusting that God is working to liberate the whole world from its sin and brokenness. Until that day fully arrives, our task is to live as Jesus lived, to share his message, to live out his mission, to do the things he did, to weep with him, and to suffer with him, and to also live with hope. We can't do these things on our own. We need God's help, and we receive that help through prayer. So I invite you now to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. And as we say this prayer, I invite you to focus your attention on the character and the nature of God. Focus on our Father in heaven and what that means for us. Let's pray now together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.